This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCP Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. On your way back from Nouvelle-Écosse, all quiet on the Western Front, and wherever live radio reaches you, because that's what it's all about here at KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, live and local.
Just like that river, I've been rolling ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. Such a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. So I go to the movie and I go downtown. People keep telling me, Maggie, don't hang.
Well, there are lots of changes going to come, we hope. And in this case, we're sending those healing wishes out. And that goes to Eileen as well, way out in eastern Canada. As you know, my attitude is one of the most healing, maybe the most healing thing, is the arts. Music, dance, visual arts, theater, the written word, poetry. And I have someone here in the studio with me who's been doing it for a long time. How long has it been, Jeannie Peterson?
Well, for the Nutcracker, it's 45 years this year.
Oh,
it
wow.
does not even seem like 4 years. It passes by so quickly doing what you love to do.
So that's, of course, Jean Peterson, the Maddox Studio Little Ballet Theater with the Nutcracker, which is happening not this weekend. Put it on your calendars for next week. And there are three performances, Saturday at 2 o'clock and 7:30, and Sunday at 2 o'clock. And it is at the Astoria High School Auditorium, which is still the largest, I think so, the largest
yes.
venue with the largest
yes,
stage.
Yes, the largest for, stage.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Can't even imagine getting that many people in that set.
I know. We have a large cast.
It's. Do you have any sense of how many in the
cast? I think we have, altogether, we have 90 people, including the orchestra. So,
and
the orchestra is amazing to,
it
to
is.
Have. Yes.
It is. And that's one of the distinguishing factors, mm-hmm. I think, in addition to the longevity
yes.
and the small town and great talent
yes.
is having a live orchestra.
It is. It truly is.
People are amazed when I tell them that, because how did you do that anyway? Has that that hasn't been the entire time.
No, and you know, I just the other day someone was asking me how long we've had the orchestra. Well, I know our first conductor was John Ogren. He was the music director at Warrenton School District. And then he passed away, and then Lee Stromquist took over.
Okay.
And then Lee was with us for 13 of the years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are
Lee is still with us.
And Lee is still playing in the orchestra.
Right.
Yes, and in the tuba quartet.
Right.
And then now Corey Peterson has been conducting for us. I think this is about the sixth year or seventh year for him, and he's wonderful. They're all such wonderful people and love the production and love the music.
So when you started... It was with
an LP record. A lot of people have no idea what that is. And then we went from that to, let's see, after that, I think it was reel-to-reel and cassette and CD.
Oh, no.
And I think there might have been an 8-track in there somewhere,
too. Oh, my
God. But we've done it with whatever vehicle we've used.
Right.
It's been.
That must be amazing because I know one of the... fabulous things of having live music is that it can be a give and take.
Yes.
And I can't imagine in any other way, really, at this point.
Exactly. And the setting of the tempos, you know, for the dancers, so they're consistent. And it's a wonderful collaboration between the conductor and the choreographers.
Right, right. So, 45 years for the Nutcracker. How long has... now, I said Maddox Studio and Little Ballet Theater.
Yes.
Is it completely the same? Or
Little
what?
Ballet Theater is a nonprofit, a 501c3.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
A scholarship foundation. And we are recognized by the Oregon Cultural Trust, as well as the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition.
Good.
So we are recognized by those.
How long has Maddox Studio been?
Well, Maddox Studio is another story. this is our 70th year.
No.
Like 68, 69, 70.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. And who started the Maddox Studio?
Well, I'm right here in front of you, Carol. It's my fault.
Thank you so much. And it's hard to believe because now you're still teaching classes.
Oh, yes, every day, but Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
I teach every day but Mondays.
Teaching classes and also, if you do join the cast of The Nutcracker, you will be sure to see Jean Peterson right there up front and paying attention to every little detail, including some of the children's behavior.
Oh, of
which
course, of
I
course.
Think they learn so much being in this production.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
So tell us, do you have some folks coming in for this one?
Yes, we have returning, we're delighted to say, from the Idaho, from Boise, Idaho, the Ballet Idaho. And it is Elizabeth Barreto and Andrew Taft. And the audiences love them, and the cast loves them. They're very personable and excellent dancers. And our conductor, Corey, loves to have the same couple back as often as we can.
Sure.
Because they begin a nice relationship with their tempos, and that helps everything.
Right. And to me, first of all, I'm so impressed by the young ones dancing, the discipline and the cooperation, and then to watch the little ones, not just when they're performing, but in reality, when they are watching these more professional, the professionals,
and they're learning.
And they're also realizing this is real stuff.
Right. This is serious. This is not a game. I always tell them this is serious stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why we have an age limit. We don't accept children in the cast under the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason, because I think they're more serious and they're ready to perform and a great learning process for them.
So most of the children who are actually dancing are students.
They're coming from other. Maggie has sent us some from the Esther School of Ballet.
Okay.
And so we're very happy to have her students also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice collaboration. We enjoy having them. We have open auditions, so any child in the community can audition. So I think that's important to include as many dancers as we can. Our parents in the first act are all just wonderful people from different walks of life, retired teachers, retired adults, nurses, doctors, everybody is just there to have a good time.
And I just learned, one or two of the people are actually store owners in Warrenton.
Yes, they are.
Reading the backs of the T-shirts or the hats,
yes.
One finds out about
Jeannie and Tom Smith, mm-hmm. and they own the Main Street Market.
Right,
We're so delighted to have them in the cast.
Right. We have quite a variety, and it's a lot of fun.
It is.
And watching, and of course, we have Chrislyn Taylor
yes.
as grand-mère.
Yes, and she has been grand-mère yes. for many years. We love her.
Right. And then your Dr. Drosselmeyer.
Dr. Drosselmeyer, needless to say, Dan Sutherland is the ultimate Dr. Drosselmeyer. He has done this so many years, I believe at least 30, at least, yeah. maybe more.
Yeah.
But we can't do that without Dan and Chrislyn.
It's been a joy to watch.
Oh, we're delighted.
Some of the adults come in because, like with Dan, come in because their children are involved.
Yes.
But then when the children grow up, the parents can't quite make the break, so
and
they stick around. And
I know, terrific. Our stage managers are just wonderful. Their daughter was in the Nutcracker many, many years, and mm-hmm. now she's graduated from college many mm-hmm. years ago, and now she works for the ABC Sports in
wow.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay and Ann Brown are just Mr. and Mrs. Nutcracker, actually. They're wonderful.
That's great. And what about the costuming? Where is that? Because some of this... some of the allure, again, if you have children, this is for all ages. I was going to say this is not just for children, but it's not just for anybody. It is for every age.
I think there's something for everyone.
Every age. It is so impressive. But when you bring little ones, sometimes people are afraid their children will be squirming and they won't be mm-hmm. able to sit still. I feel sure that children will be so transported, mm-hmm. seeing other children on
yes.
the stage of all sizes.
I hear that all the time, that they didn't think that little one would mm-hmm. sit still, and they found out that they were just mesmerized.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's an important facet to that. It's a learning process all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. So the 45th, okay, well, we got another 45 to go.
Absolutely.
I guess so.
Why not?
There we go. For a start. Anyway.
Well, I have wonderful choreographers each year because the story's name stays the same, but mm-hmm. the choreography changes according to the skills of the dancers at audition. So
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
So the choreography may be totally different from different things throughout the performance, but it's adapted every year to fit who gets the parts.
I see.
So the choreographers have just outdone themselves.
How many choreographers?
There are three. Emily Madsen, okay. Carlita Lewis-Allen, and Sarah Cohen. And they're all so talented and yeah. such professionals in their own right. And they do such an amazing job.
I had no idea. And I wondered mm-hmm. about that because some of these kids can turn forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
some are closer to me where I'll fall on my face if I, of course, I can't even imagine ever playing any of it, but it's lovely to walk through and
we love having you
and
there.
Just staying close, being
yes.
close up and watching these mm-hmm. kids move and take such joy in the whole thing.
You're so, right.
Jeannie, this is a real gift to the community. The Nutcracker with a what did you say? 55-piece
orchestra.
55-piece
orchestra. Yes, they play the entire score.
Yeah.
Not any note is left out. And a lot of them come, they're local people, but a lot of them, about 20 of them, come from out of town from other orchestras.
Okay.
And they are here for two nights during the production.
Right.
And we have local hotels that donate their rooms.
Lovely.
Just an astounding donation
it's
from the hotels.
It's a community effort,
it is.
Isn't it?
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So this is happening a week from tomorrow. It is December 7th at
yes.
2 p.m. and at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and December 8th at 2 p.m. You can get tickets at the libertyastoria.org.
Yes. yes.
And but the seats are not reserved, right? It's open seating?
No, the seats are reserved on the website, yes, on
okay.
the Liberty Theater website.
But I mean, when you get
there. But when you get there, then you can purchase reserved seats or general admission.
Okay, so
yes.
there are some people will be sitting in specific seats.
Yes.
Okay, so apropos of that, I highly recommend you go to libertyastoria.org, and you will be directed and find the Nutcracker and get your tickets in advance.
They can go to the box office, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good.
On certain days, Wednesdays through Fridays.
And we don't give prices, but it's quite reasonable for, especially there are different prices. And I believe there's a special price on Saturday.
Saturday afternoon matinee, there is a $5 off on tickets for military with their ID.
So are those active military?
Active military.
Not veterans.
Right, right. They must show their ID, their current ID.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. And otherwise, there are different prices for seniors and children. So take a look and do join us. And it usually packs the theater.
Yes, it does.
So it is a good idea to get your tickets in advance.
It's good to get there about an hour ahead.
Yeah. Really. And then if you're in general admission, you can pick your seats. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jean Peterson.
Very much.
And again,
a pleasure.
Maddox Theater. Maddox
little,
Dance.
Little Valley.
Yes, but the Maddox Dance has been around for 70 years.
Only.
Just keep that only. And Jean is a very young, she started at a very young, whatever age
whatever
she
that was.
The
yes.
heart and the spirit is still young.
You
so
bet.
Check it out. Thanks so much
Thank
for coming.
Thank you, Carol.
In.
It's such a pleasure. I appreciate it.
And it is a great joy. I can speak from personal experience. And I have some music from Laura Love. Today is November 29th. Sunday is December 1st, and that is World AIDS Day. And I would like to remind everybody to give a thought to what that means to many, many families and people. And you may not even be aware of it, but I'm sure there's somebody in your acquaintance who has been touched by HIV/AIDS. And the work is still going on and still making a difference. Laura Love, Things I've Heard People Think. And my comment, let's all be people who think. And speaking about thinking, I do want to mention that the Astoria Warming Center is alive and well, but, not but, and volunteers are needed. We need new people to come in and check it out and give a call to 760-289-8932 or call me after the show and I'll give that to you again. And see if you're able to fill in. It's just like a two-hour spot, and they're all over the space, you know, in the evenings, all night, in the morning, and you can decide what's best for you. But we need a lot of people pitching in just a few hours a week and or even a few hours every 2 weeks, and our community can be proud of itself. Well, speaking of being proud of ourselves, I have... Julie Brown is here, and I still don't quite understand what she did. I need that mic up a little bit, or Julie's taller than Jeannie, so there you go. Julie, you know what I'm saying is Shakespeare and shipwrecks, what English Royal Navy ships can teach us about Shakespeare's plays. Julie Brown, many of us here know as one of our professors at Clatsop College. But now it seems she's an adventurer and is still staying. You got Shakespeare in there, but what have you been doing? Actually, let me just tell people, she's going to be presenting. So listen up, and then you can come to her presentation. It will be Thursday, the 5th of December, this coming Thursday, at the Fort George Lovell Room at 7 p.m. It's part of Clatsop College Ales and Ideas. So welcome, Julie, and what are you doing?
Hi, Carol. Thank you. Well, I'm an English professor. I've spent all of my career studying literature, especially literature from England. But since moving to Astoria 25 years ago, I've also developed a real love for the sea and ships and all kinds of things related to maritime culture.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, I had the opportunity to go to Cambridge University in England, where I took 5 Shakespeare classes and learned everything I could about Shakespeare.
Holy cow.
And in my free time, whenever I wasn't in the classroom or studying, I tried to find shipwrecks and visit them and climb all over them and see what I could learn about England's maritime culture. And they have such a rich history. I went on a wide variety of different ships. And it occurred to me at one point that what I was learning about shipwrecks was actually helping me to understand Shakespeare better. He refers to so many nautical and maritime words in his plays. And so many of his characters go on ship rides. There are shipwrecks galore. And so that kind of got me started to look at the connection between shipwrecks and Shakespeare.
So you started looking at the shipwrecks just for the heck of it.
Right, right.
I see. Okay. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So first I went to Greenwich, and where they have the Cutty Sark, which was a tea ship that went over to India to bring tea back to England.
Not alcohol, huh?
Well, the whiskey's named after the ship.
Right.
And the ship is named after a type of miniskirt worn by prostitutes. That's what Cutty Sark means. It means short skirt. So it's kind of like the ship was called the miniskirt. Yeah.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
And then I went to Portsmouth and climbed aboard Lord Nelson's ship, the Victory, which is a ship where he fought against Napoleon. And Nelson was actually assassinated on the ship. And then I went to... another ship, which was the one that really opened up my eyes, called the Mary Rose, which was one of King Henry VIII's ships. Oh. It was built in 1510.
Oh.
And about 30 or 40 years ago, they found this ship that sank in 1545. And because it was completely covered in mud, a certain kind of silt, everything
preserved.
Under the mud was preserved.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a gold mine. It's a gold mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, was Mary Rose wasn't one of his many wives, was it?
No. It was probably named after Virgin Mary because he was Catholic at that point in his life. But his daughter was always also named Mary. So mm-hmm. some people think she might have been part of it, too.
Lots of Marys.
But not a wife. Yeah.
Right. Wow. That's exciting. And that's relatively recent, the discovery of that
ship. Prince Charles was one of the key divers that went down.
Oh,
and they were able to excavate all kinds of objects and skeletons. And
so where does one is the material material that they gathered now in a museum?
Yes, okay. Yes, it's in Portsmouth, England.
Oh, in the actual mm-hmm. town. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can see the remains of the ship.
Okay.
And it's one of the best museums I've ever seen. It's really, really well done.
So one would have to go to each of these towns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Here, I'm following this now. Here's what I've got. Tell me okay. if this is right. You're an English major. You become, I think you got your doctorate, didn't you, in yeah. English. You come here, you're teaching, and you are introduced to the water. Did you have something to do with the Fisher Poets?
Yeah, John Broderick and I were the co-founders of it.
That's what I thought.
Many, many years ago. And yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. And I've also trained to work on the Lady Washington, a tall ship. I've been a deckhand okay. on that ship.
So you got deeply ensconced in river lore and water lore.
Yeah.
And fast forward, you decide, what a good time. Let's go to Cambridge and study Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And while I'm there, I'll check out the water. And then it circles right back to you.
Exactly.
This is fabulous,
exactly.
Julie. I love this.
And the best part of all of this that I want to talk about on Thursday is while I was going through the archives of the National Maritime Museum and going through ship captains' logs and ship doctors' notes, I discovered something in my research about one of Shakespeare's plays. It's. I found the answer to a question that people have been asking for 400 years about one of Shakespeare's characters, something that people never really knew for sure about one of the characters. And I found it in the captain's notes. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So yeah. Here we are. Again, how many people have that kind of a connection? The fact that you are deep, deep in this literature and English and English literature, mm-hmm. Shakespeare, and you're deep into the river
right.
and the water
right.
and the ships. And that's not a common, except that Fisher Poets, we've got all these fishermen.
Yeah, that's another intersection between the two. Yeah, absolutely.
However, yeah. So you have a mystery, a Shakespearean mystery. Now, are you writing this up for something at this point?
I might at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm just really looking forward to talking about it at Fort George and sharing it with people because I think people will find it to be very,
that
very
is
interesting.
So exciting. So it doesn't matter who you are and what you're interested in, which aspect of this, or you don't even know what we're talking about, but it sounds intriguing.
It's tracing the clues. Yeah, you don't have to be a Shakespeare
yeah,
scholar or
be,
even...
Yeah,
know,
you
yeah.
could be a mystery a mystery book reader.
Yeah.
Dr. Julie Brown is going to be the featured speaker at Clatsop College Ales and Ideas, which happens once a month at Fort George Lovell Room. They have some kind of a presentation every Thursday evening. But once a month is Ales and Ideas, and this is December 5th, 7 o'clock at the Lovell Room. That's on 14th, just south of Duane. And the doors open, I believe, at 6 or 6:30.
Yeah, I think you can come around 6.
Yeah.
And
you can
all get, ages, and get, it's free.
And, mm-hmm. and all ages, but you can still get beer,
yes.
of course, and because it's Fort George.
Have a pint, yeah.
And you can also get a bite to eat mm-hmm. and settle down and enjoy this marvelous presentation. I'm going to read the whole title altogether, although it's a mouthful. Shakespeare and Shipwrecks. Just take that one away. What English Royal Navy Ships Can Teach Us About Shakespeare's Plays. Julie, are you teaching these days at all?
Yes, I am. Oh. I just finished teaching medieval English literature.
Here at
yeah.
the college.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'll be teaching Shakespeare probably starting in the summers. And I also teach maritime culture classes.
Wow. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. See how life changes. One just needs to be open and good stuff happens. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much,
this is
Carol.
Very exciting. Thank and do you have another trip planned? I mean, did this inspire you to Soto, is there enough material here to digest?
You can always go back to London. There's always more to see.
There you go. Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Carol.
Again, that is Thursday evening, the 5th, 7 o'clock at the Lovell. Doors open at 6, and often, not always, but often, they pack it. So you might want to get there a little early, get yourself something to eat, drink, be merry with, and get ready for Julie Brown's presentation. Got some music for you. And I heard this on, it must have been Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. It reminded me that this is the 20th anniversary of the World Trade Organization attempting to meet in Seattle and being met by masses of people, including folks from Astoria who went up there. People from all backgrounds and from everywhere came to fight for our values and our rights. Stay tuned, KMUN.
Big money pulling on invisible strings, and getting into everything so deep. It's hard to believe it's in the food and the water and the air you breathe, and the chemistry, the biotech, the banker with the bottomless check, the corporations and the CEOs, and the bottom line is the profit grows. The money talks, you don't talk back. They don't like you when you act like that. Shut it down, didn't we? November 30th, 99, it was a Tuesday morning when we drew the line. It was a WTO coming to town, and we swore we're gonna shut it down. And they stood there with their big police. They had the National Guard out to keep the peace, with the guns and the clubs and the chemical gas. But still we would not let them pass. And they raged and roared and their tempers flared, and there were bombs bursting in the daylight air. And they'd run us off, do us in, but we came right back again. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down, didn't we? November 30th, 99, millennium passing as the numbers climb, and the people came from everywhere. There must have been 50,000 out there. There were farmers, unions, rank and file. Every grassroots has its own style. There were great big puppets, two stories tall. There were drummers drumming in the shopping malls. There were so many people that you couldn't see how that many people got into the city, and the WTO delegates too. But we were locked down, so they couldn't get through. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down, didn't we? November 30th, 99, lockdown at the police line, and they're hitting you with everything they got. But you ain't moving, like it or not. And they're tying your wrists with plastic cuffs, and they're loading you up on a great big bus, and they're taking you down to the Navy base. Pepper spraying you right in the face. Try to break it down, try to get you to kneel, but you got the unity and this is for real. And they can't break a spirit that's coming alive. That's the kind of spirit that's bound to survive. Yeah, didn't we? Shut it down, didn't we?
Yeah, it's hard to believe 20 years ago. We did it then, we can do it again. And if not that, then something else. When people come together, they make things happen. Important things. And when the young people do it, it's even more exciting. That's what's been happening lately. Well, right now, I have a couple of people in the studio who are making things happen. One's not so young. One's relatively young. Neither of them is as young as some of the people who are out in the streets these days. Bless them. I have here Frank Spence, who is, well, he's not wearing a hat, actually. But if he were, it would be his hat as the president of the North Coast Chorale. And Frank, you're a bass, aren't you? Or a tenor?
Yes, I am.
You're a bass.
I'm a bass, a baritone. Yeah,
a bass baritone.
I'm feeling mighty low.
Oh, yeah, I noticed your voice just dropped a few. You used to be behind me. Okay, and the other person new to me is Dustin Martin, who is the chief operating, is it operating or operations?
Operations.
Chief operations officer for the CCA Regional Food Bank here in Clatsop County. And Dustin, welcome.
Thank you. I wish I could talk about my singing abilities like Frank here, but unfortunately, I only sing in the shower, and that's usually pounding on the door telling me to be quiet. So.
Well, actually, this is going to be what we're talking about. Going to be your opportunity, because when there are that many people, nobody pays attention, right, Frank? Yeah. When you're on stage, it's another story, but when you're in the audience. But let me ask Dustin, have you been on KMUN before?
I have not, my first time.
Okay, have you been on the radio before?
I have.
Okay, so Dustin actually is a KMUN virgin. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very
so
much.
So there you go. It's all over. That was quick and easy. They are here because the North Coast Chorale is holding its annual Handel's Messiah Sing-Along Play-Along. And this is happening tomorrow. Is that right?
No,
Sunday. Oh, December 1st. It says it right there.
Yes.
December 1st. I'm trying
at
to rush
o'clock.
Time. Yes, we've got it. And it's at the Performing Arts Center, our beloved building, on 16th and Franklin in Astoria. And do you know how long the chorale's been doing this?
We're celebrating our 30th year this year, but I'm not familiar. I'm told it's almost been as many years as people have been associated with the North Coast Chorale.
And I think it's been in different places at different years, but the Performing Arts Center is the perfect place. That's also where the North Coast Chorale rehearses and often performs. We'll talk about that in a minute. We've got other people coming for that. But this once a year is exciting because the chorale partners with the Regional Food Bank. And Dustin's going to tell us about the food bank. But first, Frank, how does it work? This sing-along, play-along.
As the part of the annual Messiah sing-along, it has always, as far as I can remember, partnering with the food bank. First of all, we call it a sing-along, play-along because the audience brings their own copies of the Messiah. And we have an orchestra on the stage, but other local residents are invited to play along also. So it is a community event. Now, as part of that, during intermission, Dustin will announce, we pledge all of our donations to the food bank. And Dustin makes appeal during intermission time, but also in advance we ask people to bring non-perishable goods, canned goods, and he'll get into it. They'll accept monetary contributions as well as canned goods.
So I'll get Dustin to tell us all about that.
Yes.
But let me ask you, because I heard you say people are encouraged to bring their own copies of the Messiah to sing from. What about folks who no, I mean, everybody knows this part or that part. But are there going to be extra copies, or are some of the chorale folks going to mix themselves up in the audience? So how's that going to work?
Well, all the altos and sopranos will be in the audience. And only because of space limitations, basses and tenors are going to be.
Wait a second. You're telling me the men yes. get to stay on the stage?
But no, there are no copies. The volume is so large. But people go just to hear it. I mean,
you don't have to sing along.
Just hum along. Or,
right, there you go.
And you'll feel guilty you're out of place by humming along.
Right. And we were talking beforehand, and I won't reveal too much personal material, but you don't really have to know how to sing even. First of all, you can just sit there and enjoy the glorious music, because it is beautiful music. And second of all, sit between friends, and then if you're off pitch, nobody's going to elbow you to, you know, quiet down. So again, this is this Sunday at 4:00, 16th and Franklin at the Performing Arts Center, which way back was one of the many Lutheran churches. I think it was Trinity Lutheran, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, when it was first built in 1921.
Right. But the steeple came down, and it's been a performing arts center, and it will remain a performing arts center for many years to come, and you'll be hearing more about that, folks.
Yes, but and we're also in a historic district yet, so and we're only one block away from the county's historic museum.
That's true. Yeah.
They'll keep us honest.
Right in the middle of it. Something like that. So, Dustin, how long have you been with the food bank?
I have been with the food bank since 2010.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I never kid when it comes to food banking.
Wait a second. You have been there since 2010, and you have never come in to KMUN and been on the air?
I have never been in here on the air. I would be willing to bet our former director, Marlon, was in here.
Right.
I think he was in here a few times.
Right.
But he had a much better voice. He was much better.
His voice is great.
He was much better looking than me, so we usually sent him out.
Folks, he's lying. He's lying through his teeth. But you'll have to come and see him in order to know that. So have you always been the chief operations officer?
I have not. At one time when I was hired with the food bank, I was the operations manager. And then as our director ended up retiring and moving to Arizona, I assumed the role of the chief operations officer.
Okay. So tell us how the regional food bank works, because I know there are pantry kitchens in various places. How does it all choreograph together?
It can be confusing at times. So I'm with the regional food bank. And if I can put this into really simple terms, we're a warehouse.
Okay.
And we bring in food to the county from the state and federal level. And then we make that available to many other agencies in which we call partner agencies. So food pantries that may be in a church somewhere, a backpack program, a homeless shelter, a domestic violence shelter.
Okay.
So there's many different kinds of programs that we actually supply with food. And about 60% of the food we bring in to Clatsop County and collect at a local level goes to what we call partner agencies, and about 40% will be given directly to individuals and families by us.
And how does that work? Do people sign up with you, or do you have a venue that people go to?
Sure, a couple different ways.
So if somebody's, for example, saying, whoa, I didn't even know about this.
Oh, absolutely. So most of our direct service distribution is in the form of fresh produce and fresh foods.
Mm.
We took on that role because we are much better equipped than many of our partner agencies to handle the type of volumes we're talking about when it comes to fresh food.
Right.
So individuals can come visit the regional food bank in Warrenton every week on Thursdays between the hours of 3 and 4:30, and they can get their fresh food needs hopefully met for the week. That's in addition to any pantry visits that they may do. During the summer months, we actually take our show on the road. So not only are we in Warrenton at our food bank distributing fresh produce, we will be at the Seaside Outlet Mall, and we will also be in Astoria. So you've probably seen our big truck parked. We do that from May through September when the weather kind of allows us to.
Right.
And then when we get into the cooler, wet season, we do it indoors at our facility in Warrenton.
Okay, and I'm thinking the facility in Warrenton is right past the animal shelter.
You are absolutely right, absolutely correct.
Is there a website that folks can go to for the regional food bank?
Certainly, www.ccaservices.org.
Okay, and CCCA is Clatsop Community Action?
Clatsop Community Action.
Right, CCCAservices.org. Okay, so folks, if you're thinking this sounds like something valuable, go ahead and check that out. And in the meantime, Dustin will be at the Performing Arts Center on Sunday, and he may even decide to sing along quietly, but sing along he might. And in the meantime, he will be able to answer your questions. And as Frank said, if people bring cans, non-perishables, does that then go to the food bank as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything goes to
and
the food bank.
My comment on that is that's great, but the food bank needs food all year round. And I know at Christmas time is when everybody says, ah, same with the warming center. So, and Dustin, you tell me whether this is true. I'm thinking that a nice check or some cash, whatever, would be nice to donate because that can be translated. You're able to purchase food for a lot less than most of us. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. We're able, through the food banking system, we're able to acquire about 5 pounds of food for every dollar. So if you kind of compare that to a grocery store, you can buy typically a can of beans for a buck. We can acquire up to 5 pounds.
Right.
With that. So it does go further. But, you know, there's something very tangible for a lot of people about the can of food.
Right.
But if somebody's really serious about maximizing the effort and the money, cash, we can make it go further.
Right. And this is one way that the North Coast Corral is able to participate in supporting the regional food bank is by having a good time. Because it is a good time. Beautiful music. Handel's Messiah. Bring instruments if you have them. The number one instrument, of course, is your voice or anything else. And 16th and Franklin, the Performing Arts Center. It starts at 4. Come earlier and get yourself situated and enjoy a lovely afternoon. Thank you so much, Frank Spence, president of the North Coast Corral, and Dustin Martin, chief operations officer of the Clatsop Community Actions Regional Food Bank. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Got a little music, and then I've got more art. And this is our beloved Hackles. The Hackles are going to be on Troll Radio tomorrow morning. That'd be Luke and Katie. To you locals.
The winter that the river froze again, the furs wrapped around you like a foe, and your chances in making friends are small, so I decided that I liked you, 'cause I'm cool like that. And
So we built a house, big and tall, and we covered each and every wall with things that amused you. And there was copper shot, cedar trees, and pictures were painted of you and me.
Well, you heard it. You just heard it. Pictures and paintings. That was the Hackles with their brand new album. It's so exciting. And that was Humane Society. It's the name of that piece. And I have some pictures and paintings, people, right here with me. First is Jean Nitzel, who is the owner, operator, and artist at the Picture Attic. Is that correct?
Yep.
You got, oh, good heavens. I have to get that.
You want that closer? Closer?
Oh, heavens, it doesn't really help to have a microphone hanging way up in the sky. Jean, did I describe that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, and that is in Long Beach on the peninsula, the Washington Peninsula. And with her is Sue Swenson, artist and co-proprietor, I'm not sure how you say that, of the wonderful Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. And I know that they have all kind of, I announce them usually twice a week because they have things on Wednesday nights and on Saturday nights. And yes, you have Aralee coming.
Aralee James with Jamie Stillway. It's going to be an incredible show on Wednesday.
It is. That's Wednesday the 4th. But right now we're here to talk about this gathering, Holidays at the Attic. And I am going to let Jean tell you a little bit something about it. We put this appointment together at Kala when we were listening to some really good music.
Yes, we did.
We were sitting there going, hey, don't you have something coming up? So, Jean, what's happening?
We have our next showing, which our gallery has over 30 artists, and our next opening show is Friday, December 6th, from 3:30 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And just among the 30 artists we have a stained glass artist, a painted rocks. We have lots of painted rocks at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Pottery, abstract art. We have crab pot ropes in baskets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, are these all peninsula artists?
All peninsula artists,
wow.
All local.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. Are some of these people, I suspect, listening to you, some of them are part of the Peninsula Arts Association Studio Tour.
Oh, sure.
Which is, folks, going on
right
this
now.
Second. It stops at 4 o'clock, but you're in luck because it happens again tomorrow and Sunday.
Right.
All over the peninsula. Betty Lou was here last week along with Linda Marsh to talk about that. So these are some of the same artists. Whether or not you get to their studios, this is a boondoggle. I don't know what boondoggle means. That's not a good thing.
No.
No, this is a boom, not a boondoggle. Because you can go to one space and see
right.
So many of the artists. Now, tell us where the Picture Attic is.
We're located on North 8th and Pacific Avenue,
okay.
Which is
the main drag.
8 blocks north of Bolstad,
right.
Where the main light is.
Okay.
And we have a bunch of musicians also for our opening. And Sue will tell you a little
okay.
bit about them.
We have Fred Carter is going to play, and he plays just about any song you can name. We kind of refer to him as the human jukebox. An amazing job in a number of different things. And then we have Ken Emo and Jason Sho, who are going to be doing some classical guitar. They'll each be playing a little segment about an hour, hour and a half apiece.
Oh, nice.
And then we have Larkin Stentz, who
oh,
you
yes.
know with his wonderful flute. And
yes,
possibly
Hammer Dulcimer.
Mm-hmm. And there may
oh,
be
cool.
another artist. We,
wow.
You know, we never
Maybe.
Know. But some wonderful opportunity to commingle our art and our music.
Now, how big right. is this place?
We're the downstairs part is about 3,000 square feet. Maybe okay. The gallery is 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
We also have a custom picture framing and other things, art supplies right. and things in our shop.
Right, because so. It's a shop and right. a gallery.
And
right.
Jean does some wonderful watercolor classes, number of different kinds of art classes, but mm-hmm. I got kind of coerced into going to a watercolor class that I didn't think I was going to care for and fell
changed
in
your life.
Love
and
with now, it, and I can't stop. So.
And now she's the star of our gallery.
That's wonderful.
She well, can't quit.
I remember when, see, because I've known Sue and Bill Svensson from the music world for mm-hmm. a number of years, yeah. and then suddenly your name popped up in the visual arts, and I went, oh, I didn't know she did that. And now it's all over the place.
Right.
How exciting. Very makes... exciting. So this is happening a week from today, mm-hmm. from 3:30 to 7:30, and you can just drop by, or if you like music and art together, hang out. I bet there'll be some goodies there, too.
Isn't oh, yeah.
There? Oh, yeah. I didn't ask, but I'm just going to make that assumption. So it's called The Picture Attic, and you're open all year round.
Yes, we're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, and Saturdays from 12 to 4, close Sunday and Monday.
And do you have any kind of a website at this point?
I'm pretty much on Facebook.
Facebook,
but,
okay.
But the website's kind of
yeah
not done well, so.
Okay, we won't
yeah.
go there.
Yeah.
And I'll just have to come to your shop because
yes,
I'm
you
not
will.
On Facebook, as everybody here knows.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah.
yeah.
So again, my guests, Jean Nitzel from The Picture Attic and Sue Svensson, who is showing there as well as at the hosting fabulous musicians at the Peninsula Arts Association, which is a performing venue, a small one. So as I say every time, when you hear something you like, go immediately because they do sell out. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember when you started and it was just like, and now it's like, rabbit.
Yep.
So
yep.
great.
And Carol, it's
yes.
the Peninsula Arts Center, not Arts Association. That's a
I'm
whole
sorry.
Different group.
Okay. I know that. Well, I call it the PPAC, Peninsula uh-huh. Performing Arts Center.
There you go.
Because the PAC is here in Astoria. So, right. Thank you, though. That's important distinction because these days we have so much art. It's a fabulous thing. So thank you so much for doing this and for coming in. And I hope to see you. Well, no, that's Friday, right?
Oh, you're going to come and see us next
well,
Friday,
Well, I would
right?
like to. It is my 75th birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh.
Thank you. But I have a dress rehearsal for the Nutcracker. I'm telling you. This world is so
Isn't
busy.
It
it's a wonderful thing. Thanks so much.
And maybe there's a chance of seeing you at Arley.
Ah, that's true. Okay, folks, again, we are just about out of time. I mentioned already the Studio Tour Peninsula Arts Association. That's where they are. And then the Southwester has Gratitunes Festival tonight. Tomorrow afternoon is a kids show, and then tomorrow night. Today is, of course, Buy Nothing Day or Plaid Friday, weaving together the threads of community. Shop locally if you shop at all. Seaside Artisan Fair is Friday till 5 and Saturday 10 to 5. Coaster Theater, Annie, Friday and Saturday. Sunday matinee this week, 3 o'clock. There's a Black Friday red dress party, 6 o'clock at the Loft. Benefit for Lower Columbia Q Center. Santa Lucia, of course, is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Astoria High School. And the NCRD in Nehalem has a fireside social orchestra with a fireside Christmas at 7 o'clock tomorrow. The Troll Radio Review upstairs at the Fort George. David Rutheiser and the Hackles. There's the Crab Pot Christmas.